Blog Talk Radio.
There was a time I was so afraid, so scared to do what I wanted. In looking back, I can see all the mistakes that I made, and I wish that I could talk to me and tell me I can change. Don't be afraid, just walk with your head.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Safe Recovery. This is Monica Richardson, and I am your host. Today is May 28th, 2013. Wow, spring just flew by. It's been just gorgeous in Los Angeles. Beautiful breeze and sunny, and I don't recall it being so nice here in May ever, but it has been great, so I am so excited. Today we have Marilyn Bradford as my guest. And Marilyn, well, I'm going to let her talk about herself, but I do want to read this. I want to thank ETP, a blogger who referred me and was like, you got to get this woman on, and she's really awesome. So it's happening, ETP. She is a psychotherapist, has been for many years, I think a couple of decades, was in AA, left AA, and her target was to empower people. And I'm going to just read, kind of encapsulate what she sort of has here. She was stuck in a system of theories and answers. I finally realized that the purpose of traditional psychotherapy is to give people a better adjustment to this reality, and not just to empower them to move beyond, and create something greater. No, that doesn't sound right. I'm sorry. But I'm going to move on here. The traditional recovery program for alcoholism was even worse. I was in it for years not knowing there was another possibility. It's a fixed system of beliefs and limitations that's applied to all who enter. All are doomed to an identity, a lifetime of meeting steps, and no hope of ever beating addiction. Wow. No matter how hard I tried, that just wasn't enough for me. So as she began to apply the tools of access, which we're going to find out what that is today, to my psychotherapy clients, she noticed that they were getting better faster and without all of the trauma and drama. She approached Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, to see if they could do anything with access and addiction. And he responded with a huge yes. And they have been working together, contributing to her and Right Recovery for You, which we are going to find about right now. And I am going to bring Marilyn on the show. So here we go. And see if I can. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Monica. Yes, I'm
hi.
Here.
Welcome to my show. How are you today?
Just wonderful, and thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, I am really, really happy to have you on. So I have so many questions because we just did a quick conversation, and I invited you on, and I would like if you just go ahead and begin and just tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. I was diagnosed with, quote, alcoholism, and I had other, quote, addictions, cigarettes, and probably close to an eating disorder back in my 20s and 30s. And I went to a therapist, and, you know, they didn't really know what to do, so they sent me to 12-step.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I was, you know, I sponsored people and I worked the steps and I did the whole thing. But at the same time, I was going to graduate school to become a clinical social worker. And the whole emphasis of graduate school was on empowering people, you know, so that they would not need you after a while. And I went, well, this is really interesting. I'm in this program that's telling me I'm powerless and I have to stay with it my whole life. I'm dependent on it. And I'm empowering people, and that's what I truly desired to do. So I became more and more and more disillusioned, particularly when trying to apply this to my psychotherapy clients. And I tried everything I could find. I mean, rational recovery and women for sobriety. But it all had this element of this program that, this systematic program that was imposed on top of people. It's almost like, line up, you generic beings, and we're going to plop this thing on you. And, yeah, and then I Googled the success rate of AA, and I was absolutely stunned, and I always encourage everybody else to do that. Because even if you throw off both ends, it's somewhere between 5, 8, 12% tops, which is doesn't even take into account the people who naturally just choose to quit on their own without any kind of assistance. So, I just became very, very disillusioned with it. And finally, I got to something called Access Consciousness, which, for completely different reasons, just because I'm a seeker, I've been to India, I've tried everything. But it struck me as so different because you couldn't join. There's nothing to join. There's no dogma. And that's what I really, really looked at in 12-step is all of the dogma and belief systems that are imposed. Anyway, it's set of tools and techniques that allow people to change anything they want to change. And the tagline is empowering people to know that they know. And that's where I began to come from. Hey, you know, I don't have your answers, but I can give you some tools and techniques and some accurate information that allow you to begin to create the life you desire and to make the changes. I mean, and the way I look at it, Monica, it's like if you're trying to change a flat tire and somebody gives you a screwdriver and a ruler, you're going to try to change it and you're going to think you're a failure.
Yeah.
And that's what I see with so many people with addictions, is that they're given a screwdriver and a ruler to change a flat tire and they think they're a failure because they can't make it work.
Or even one of the bloggers put up a really good post yesterday about that AA teaches you to constantly go to somebody else for the answers in your own life. And, I mean, that certainly wasn't the case 35 years ago, but it has become the norm in AA now. And so people are really disempowered to listen to their own inner voice. And it's very, very bad. And when people leave, it takes them a while, which is why you're on. So I'm going to let you continue on with what you're saying because it's really, I'm very interested. Yeah.
I really appreciate what you were saying just then because as long as we're taught that we need to listen to other people. Now, I'm not saying that you don't get information. Like if I need to go to the doctor, I'll get information, then I'll ask my body, okay, the doctor gave us 8 things. Which of those 8 do you want to do? And I've got a great connection with my body now. And she'll say, 2 and 4, forget the rest. Okay. You know, and I don't have a point of view about it, but it's never taking somebody else's answer as what's right for you. Nobody knows what's right for you but you. And that's how I approach the whole addiction thing. I mean, I always have people create their own targets. You know, some people, and let me tell you, folks, you can do that. Anything, anybody can walk away from any addictive or compulsive behavior if they're willing to do the work and have accurate tools and information. And you create your own target. If your target is abstinence, if you've decided, you know what, it just really doesn't add to my life to drink, cool, you can do that. If your target is, you know what, I would like to be able to have a glass of wine every once in a while. You can do that. But the is moving away from making yourself the effect of others into a place of true choice.
Right. So now there's two kinds of things that I'd like to address. And, you know, if it goes really well today, we'll have you on again. But one is, you know, people, I've known some bloggers that are addicts, they're heroin addicts that were not helped by 12-step. And they still were struggling with by just blogging and trying, you know, smart online because there weren't meetings in their area. Or maybe they don't want to do absence, like you said. And then there's people who are deprogramming, who have left, who have, and you were talking about that you can help people deprogram faster, that it doesn't take a year like some of us think. Like it takes, you got to do it for, you know, so like we, again, once again, we're, you know, creating these, you know, it's got to be this way or, you know.
You're creating answers and fixed points of view, and that's one of the things. One of the things I work with people in that immediately is to move away from answer and move into question.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, answer is it's going to take a year, or it took so and so a year, so that's got to be for me. It's like a conclusion. You
mm-hmm.
really want to move away from all the conclusions and answers in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And AA is full of conclusions and answers. So one of the things I encourage people to do is to make a list of all the beliefs that you bought as real and true from AA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can, if you don't want to start there, because for some people it's hard to differentiate until you get really used to this between the difference between what is a, quote, truth and what is
mm-hmm.
a belief.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick. Yeah, so pick something you don't know that much about. You can pick a religion like Muslim or Catholicism, or pick a political party and start listing their belief systems. And that will assist you in seeing the difference between you and in creating a separation between you and these belief systems.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
And here's something that people need to really get. Your point of view creates your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if I have a psychotherapy client who says all men are abusive or all women will betray you, they will actually create that because they cannot – if you truly believe that all men are abusive, you cannot allow a man into your life who's not abusive because it doesn't
yeah.
– it does not compute, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you believe I'm an alcoholic or if you believe I'm powerless, you're going to create that in your life. And what a lot of people do in 12-step and all of that is that they, you know, they go out and they fail miserably, or they, you know, they get drunk and get a DUI or whatever, and they go, see, it's true. No, your point of view creates your reality.
Mm-hmm,
I, quote,
mm-hmm.
went out. I don't have a DUI.
Right.
You know? And it's really, you have to get very clear on what belief systems you actually bought as true and are operating from. And that's a huge first step in letting go of this kind of programming that you've had
mm-hmm.
and moving to a place of choice, because it's really, it has to be about choice. If you don't have choice, you're not empowered. So that's one of the things that I always encourage people to do. Another thing right away, never, 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 never identify yourself as an alcoholic or an addict, because
mm-hmm.
that ensures that you have to act that out. What I say to people is, if you want to talk about it, just say, you know what? I had a period in my life or currently or whatever it is when I was drinking more than was really good for me. It's just a behavior. However, I'm on the way to changing that behavior.
I love
it. You want to distance yourself
mm-hmm.
from any idea that that's an identity. Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's really important because a really long time ago, maybe when I had my son and I went through a huge transition and really kind of pulled back from AA, and I had a really good therapist, but someone gave me the advice of, you know, how powerful words were. And I was already really into that and a seeker too. And like I'd say, oh, I'm so crazy. And she'd say, you know, it's really not a good idea to, can we find a more word that's how you really feel? Like I'm so frustrated, or I feel this and that. Those, even those kind of words that we speak and the story we tell about our past is very, very powerful. And I think that's why when I left, it was a little easier deprogramming, although there were some things I believe that were not true. There were a lot of belief system. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, and,
so,
and let me just jump in right here 1 minute, because I want to make sure I don't forget this. Give up all stories. All mm-hmm. stories are nothing more than reasons and justifications for what you're choosing.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
So just really mm-hmm. wanted to make sure I got people to get that.
Well,
and I would love to hear more about your whole process with this.
Well, you know, it's a long one, and I, you know, a lot of people know my story from listening too, and we can have, I mean, I was in there for 36 years, but
uh-huh.
I did, you know, I believe that I began to change and deprogram when I was 4 years sober. You know, I call it that from then, but, you know, it was four years abstinence and very entrenched in AA, just like you, with being involved in service and sponsor and had sponsees. And but at 4 years, I was 22, and my life started to really get together. I had a full-time job, and I lived in Honolulu, and my life was, you know, better and better. I remember feeling well, and I remember not wanting to participate in so much of the – people were trying to make more out of the 12 and 12, and there were these home meetings that were springing up where people were going through the 12 and 12 with a fine-tooth comb like it was some other kind of special book, and there were secrets in there
right.
that – we really didn't know in the regular meetings. And, you know, now we could really address this, you know, with every aspect of our lives. And I looked at, and I remember like going, I think I'm going to read an Og Mandino book, or I think I'm going to read another book by some Shakti Goel, whatever. I mean, like whatever was close to the Bodhi Tree, you know, bookstore in LA, in Honolulu, I headed into that bookstore as a seeker looking for more, because I could tell it was it. It was bullshit. You know, I knew at 22 with 4 years that those steps that were written, as much as I fucking adored Bill Wilson when I was new and thought AA was like such a, you know, great thing,
mm-hmm.
I knew it was designed only to help people, middle-aged drunks, to stop drinking, that it was not a design for living, whatever, wherever that word came from. You know what I mean? That it was
yeah.
just to help the worst drunks stop drinking the way they were drinking. It did not mean anything else, that they were trying to make it more than it was, right?
Yeah,
so,
it's a way to manage the symptoms. And I do know people who are very grateful that it has allowed them to stop drinking, you know, and they go to it for a few months or whatever. But unfortunately, most people, instead of seeing it, and I don't, I absolutely do not believe it's necessary, but for those who do go, instead of seeing it as sort of a train stop, they just stay there permanently. And that, I believe, the whole disempowering, the whole idea that you have no choice is very, very caustic and hard on the being. I do not know anyone who actually is able to step into the greatness of them and who they truly are from the space that they have no choice, that they're powerless, and that somebody or something has to do it for them. And that, I think, is the travesty of it.
Right. We are, for those who are just, you know, calling in or listening in, I'm talking to Marilyn Bradford, and with a B, Bradford, and she has her own website. It was a Marilyn Access Consciousness, so I'll give a tag. There are two bloggers that are asking some questions. Do you want to take a couple of the questions that are here in the chat room?
Yeah, I'd love Marilyn? To.
Okay. So the first one was ETP was asking, you were talking about why people fail when they drink and when they're in AA. She said, would this be why I left when I went back to compulsive drinking? I believe that I was – I think you answered that. I believed I was an alcoholic. So
right.
I think we kind of touched that already. Amy asked – I think Amy came in a little late, so maybe you missed it. Is she in L.A.? Where are you located?
I'm in Texas.
Oh, okay. She's in Texas, Amy. Has she been saying, never, never say you're an alcoholic for the last 20 years? It's what I believed and similar to what I teach now, but not sure what I was told in 1984. Amy, I don't understand the question directly. When you were saying never, never again, what was that, Marilyn?
Well, it's just don't ever, ever, ever identify yourself as something
right.
like an alcoholic, because then
right.
you have
right.
to act out.
Right.
Then you have to act that out. But
right.
there's one
labeling,
other thing
Amy.
That I really want to touch on, because I think it's so crucial for people to get. And one of the things I discovered last year is that there are actually primary and secondary addictions. And the secondary addictions are things like alcohol and drugs and sex and fixing other people's problems. But I've never worked with anyone, myself included, who didn't have what I call the primary addiction, which is to judging the self and the wrongness of us. Because every time I've ever worked with anyone, I'll say, how many of you, like when I do a big class, how many of you know you didn't fit in pretty early on? Every hand goes up. Mm-hmm. What I've found is that people who end up, quote, as alcoholics and addicts are some of the most creative, different, amazing, brilliant people in the world who from very early on were told, you can't know that, you're wrong, you're too sensitive, you're too creative, you're too curious, you ask too many questions, you make too much noise, you're doing too many things, you're too rambunctious. And they end up going to the space of the wrongness of them. And it is actually, I mean, and this is a way simplified kind of thing, but it is actually this sense of wrongness, the pain of wrongness, the pain of being overwhelmed by psychic input. And I'm not talking about like reading tea leaves. I'm just talking about capacity to pick up these thought conclusions. You know, that drives people towards, I identify addiction as a place where people go to escape from being them for a while. It doesn't really matter what it is. But if you begin to clear this judgment of self and this sense of wrongness, the second addictions begin to go away. And one of the reasons for me, from my point of view, is why AA actually perpetuates addiction is because it's so based in being wrong. You know, people ask me, what was it like? And I said, well, here's the deal, folks. Take 2 weeks. Say this to a normal person, and that you'll be amazed at the answer. Take 2 weeks, and every morning and every night, ask yourself, look at your day, and say, where was I selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid? And see how you feel after 2 weeks. No, it just...
But, you know, and that's a good point, but also it was before I left, because Gunther had, one of the bloggers, had rewrote the Chapter 5, and we were joking about it. I don't remember if he had already done it, but I started to really tear up and look at the literature. And Marilyn, if you look at like the first three paragraphs in Chapter 5, which you have to listen to before every meeting, they're telling you were born that way, that you're a sociopath, you don't know how to be honest with yourself, that you're broken, that you can never be fit. I mean, it is so bad.
It is so detrimental to people. Yeah. You might as well eat poison, verbal poison.
It's really, really horrific to the point that then as I sat the last few months, which was now over 2 years ago in meetings, I would sit and cringe and get up and go to the bathroom because I was like, are you kidding? You're sitting here and listening to the shit written 1939, bobbing your head up and down like it's soothing you and this makes sense and no one questions it. Are you fucking crazy? Right?
Right.
All right.
Right.
So, now, you left over 6 years ago? Is that how long
ago?
Yeah,
about, you know, I'm really bad on time, but more or less 6 or 7 years ago, yes.
And you have been a psychotherapist for 2 decades,
since,
right, or longer?
Basically since 91.
Okay.
I graduated, again working in 1991, yeah.
And now, tell us, are you going to have some kind of a teleclass that maybe some of us could, you know, get involved in? I know you do privates as well on the phone. Or tell us a little bit about.
I'm going to have a free call on, I believe it's July 8th, that will go more into some of what we're talking about and give some more tools. And then I've got a couple of teleclasses starting, but the one I've got starting after that is an 8-week teleclass called Ending the Primary Addiction, Judgment and the Wrongness of You. Because, you know, what I know is that all addictions have the same root cause. And you get rid of that root cause and the addictions become a moot point. You're not even fighting them. And I never encourage anybody to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because fighting, you know, actually strengthens the bond between you and it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, whether it's your husband or your wife or your, you know, or alcohol or whatever. But this is about empowering people to step out of that and assisting people and using tools and seeing how they can come out of that judgment of self and that sense of wrongness and all of the conclusions and decisions and judgments they made throughout their life that created this place in them where they then had to escape and find some relief. Because that's all addiction is. It's finding relief from that pain. But that pain is essentially our creation, because nobody told us any different. In fact, for many of us, we were encouraged to be in that space of wrongness because it makes us controllable.
Now, one of the things that we had talked on the phone that I was so excited that, you know, my friend, my blogger friend, ETP, had mentioned what you were doing, because some of us, you know, were saying very about deprogramming that, you know, it could take a year, or, you know, many of us, and, you know, we should be blogging. And you were saying that you even had, I want to hear your viewpoint of you saying, no, even with the deprogramming, you are finding a faster way. So can you talk a little bit about the deprogramming aspect, or if you have another word you'd like to use better than that?
Well, I like to use just moving it to a place of real choice. So it's a certain amount of, see, most of us don't realize that we actually have choice. We've been told that we don't, or we've been told that choice is between vanilla or chocolate rather than something beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So I begin, there are a couple of ways that I begin. One is by asking people what their target is. It's amazing that so many people don't know how to go forward. You ask them what their target is, and they say, I want to get free of AA. I'm like, well, that's cool. And what would you like after that? Where would you actually like to go? Because if you don't, if it's almost like if your car is broken down, and I say, what's your target? You say, just to get my car fixed. I'm like, that's all you want for your life? You want to get your car
fixed? Right, right.
You want to do with a car, you know?
Right.
So it's really, really helpful to have a target. I'd like a life that has more ease in it. And then we begin defining what that is and working towards that. So what you're doing basically is you're getting out of the focus on the negative and what's not working, and you're getting towards and getting the tools to move towards what you would actually like to have instead.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I think that, you know, I think that this whole process of how the internet and bloggers from all over the country, and there's quite a few in the UK who have befriended me, even in the titling of this, you know, radio show, which 2 years ago it almost got called Stop 13 Step, but he could see that I was going to move past that. And
Right. The
bloggers knew that I was going to leave AA after 30-something years, and where was this headed all for me? And I can't believe 2 years later, with some 85,000 downloads and listens, that there is a whole community of us, some very, very harmed, not just by sexual predation, rape, and murder, but this mind fuck and this belief system that people leave, and they leave feeling horrible, and they leave believing the stuff. But thank God, because of the internet, they are finding many of the anti-AA blogs and finding my radio show, and I'm sure they're finding you, right?
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of calls from, and it kind of the brainwashing that we're able to connect, and then someone else calls me and says, oh, there's this woman, Marilyn, you know, and someone else. I mean, I didn't know SMART existed in 2009. That's a crime. I didn't know a thing called moderation existed. It's a crime. It should not be allowed. I want to see the big signs on the blue bus in Los Angeles. I want to see signs on the subways in New York City. You know, so when people are sitting and commuting, they look at them and they say, you are not powerless. I mean, I made a bench ad, Marilyn. They're like,
I love it.
You know, the West Side, I'll send it to you, a picture of it, that just says, you are not powerless. Tired of 12-step programs? Listen to Blog Talk Radio. You know, and this is, the word must get out, because people kill themselves when they leave.
I know. They do, because they believe the dogma.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as if you don't believe the way I do, you're going to hell. I mean, it's really no different.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if you don't believe like me, you're going to hell. I mean, that this is – so I am talking to Marilyn Bradford, and there's two sites I want to give people. Can you tell them where they can find you on the internet?
Yes. You can go to – and I have my classes listed here, www.accessconsciousness.com. Click on the drop-down menu that says Find a Facilitator and type in my name, Marilyn. And the one thing that I want to say, because people are like, oh, what is access? Once again, there's no dogma. You can't join.
Mm-hmm.
It's a set of tools and techniques that empower people to know what they know. So it's not, it's the antithesis of something like AA. And believe me, I was in India. I've done it all over the years. I'm an older person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was aware when I got here that, oh, this is really, really different, because
mm-hmm.
it's not about Gary jokes that anytime someone wants to make him a guru or wants to have him to have the answers, he starts talking about pornography just
mm-hmm.
to prove that he's not. You know, it's not about following anybody. It's about finding yourself, your being, who you really are, and allowing that to blossom and develop so that you can actually be the contribution to the world that you are. And that's the other travesty for me for something like 12-step and any of these rigid belief systems is that it actually prevents people from being the gift that they are to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot be a gift if you're following somebody else's dogma. You just can't.
Yeah, no, you really can't. And I think, what was it, Gabrielle Glaser, who's written the book that's going to come out, Your Best Kept Secret, is coming out on Simon & Schuster on July 3rd. And one of the things that Dee Dee Stout, who wrote a book, you know Dee Dee Stout?
I've heard of her, yes.
Harm reduction, so she also left AA after, teen years, and became a harm reduction, really tried to support and teach, because she trained people who wanted to get into this, the business, the addiction recovery industry, and said, look, guys, you need to look at harm reduction rather than, did the house blow up? Like if somebody drinks and gets drunk and A, it's like, oh, you got to start over. Oh, you got to get up and say, you might as well get up and, have a cross and beat your chest. And in harm reduction or in moderation, someone says, well, what could you have done better, or what happened? And, well, did the world blow up? That's one thing that Dr. Kern says, And I just got so lost in what I was saying. We're talking about, Dee Dee Stout. And so what she said, what was so horrifying, is that she called Blue Cross or, health insurance to get someone more coverage, to get them to have more counseling. And they were like, well, where's her sponsor in all this?
Yeah, I know.
It's
infiltrated. And you know this.
I
love the work you're doing and alerting people to these travesties but it's infiltrated the court system, the insurance system, and they don't care that it doesn't work. It's amazing to me.
I'm just going to touch on it in my film. The whole thing with Blue Cross, that I found out with this one case that it's a flop house. I need to see it and follow it through to see it all, but it's one of the reasons why our insurance did go up over the last 10 years. If they're all paying for this shit, and it is crap, most of it, but the fact that it's insurance company said, and I even, where's the sponsor in this? And then even we have news stories, I have them, that, we've found on the internet where a judge said, well, do you have a sponsor? And it's like, do you know who a fucking sponsor is? Do you know he could be a pedophile? He could be a rapist. He could be a total loser that it never paid child support, or that he left his family behind. I met a guy last night who, his father went off to join AA and really abandoned his children as far as parenting because he found his new family called alcohol. I did it. I remember sitting with my father Thanksgiving, in 1977. He said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going to a meeting. It's a Thanksgiving dinner. Why are you going to a meeting?
Right.
Well, I'm so brainwashed. It's so sad, right?
It's very sad, and it's more than that. It's truly that what I keep coming back to is it's actually corrosive to the being.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started Right Recovery, and actually I'm in the middle of putting up a new website, but people can Google or can put in rightrecoveryforyou.com, and they'll be taken to a sort of an intermediate site I have where I have a free video series and some other things. What was I saying? Now I'm losing my train of thought.
It's okay. It's a lot. We're talking about you created a new site, which I think you didn't have when we first talked. So, but if you just Google your name too, So if you go ahead, what was your other site called?
Google it. But the point is, I really want to encourage people to move from the space of, like I have a program called Are You Eating to Live or Living to Eat, which is actually a program for people start out saying, well, I really want to lose weight, you know, food addiction. And they've tried OA and all these kinds of things. But they end up saying, wow, Marilyn, you know, I actually lost some weight. But what's so cool, I don't even care about that because I have such a great relationship with myself and my body now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my idea is, to move people to a space where they're celebrating themselves and they come out of the sense of wrongness and needing an expert. I tell people, everywhere you've decided that any expert knows, you know, any diet program, any addiction counselor, any doctor, anybody knows more than you do, let that go. Now, that doesn't mean you don't take in information, but ask questions. Does this apply to me?
Right.
And one of the tools we use is if you ask a question like, should I go to this doctor? If it lightens up at all, if it's light, that's an energy to follow. If it's heavy for you, and this is for you, not for, oh, well, I tried it, so now it's good for the next five people I run into. Just for you, you know, if it's light, follow it. If it's heavy, it's a lie or a truth with a lie attached. And if you just look at the energy of AA, I mean, is that light or heavy?
Oh, it's really heavy. Like my husband and I, we talked when we talk about different things, about inviting certain people or whether looking at, I guess when we bought this new house over a year ago, and we discovered that when we would look at things and go, would that be nice in the house? You know, it was a very spacious, more modern house, and we were just like, we would say, oh, it's okay, and we knew that then that was not good enough. Like it had to be, oh, my God, it's so beautiful, or like, oh, I love it, right? Well, you put on a new piece of clothing and you're shopping and you go, well, it's okay. You go, nope, you don't buy it then.
And I just, that's such a great example because people are doing that in their lives, but they don't trust themselves to do it with their addiction or with what they've decided is an addiction, which may not even be an addiction anyway. But
that's true. That's true. You want to see if anybody wants to call in and have the question?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to take a question. If somebody would like to call in, 818-475-9211. We don't always take callers because we're just always talking so much. But it's introducing somebody new, but I think we do have somebody here that and I hesitate to say has answers, but I think that you do have some tools that a lot of us need. And 818-475-9211, if you want to call in and push the button. Says, I guess your hand will be raised. You'd like to speak to the host, which is me. And we are talking to Marilyn Bradford. And let's see. All right, no one's calling in. So let's just continue talking about your processes. So how does the teleclass work? How do you get involved in that?
Teleclass, like you sign up for the teleclass. One of the cool things about the work I do in Access is it's truly global. The last teleclass I did, which was called Addiction Over Easy, which I just had fun with because I liked the title, and we used Friday.
Yeah, I like that. That's great.
We had people from Brazil and Australia, New Zealand and Italy and Mexico. And what happens is basically I send out a number, a dial-in conference call number, and people call in from all over the world at a particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a call for about an hour and a half. And then the people, and you can ask questions. It's very much like you and I are talking, except it's a little bit more that I would have, okay, I really want, you know, I want to give you these tools and I want to talk about this. And I take the questions that people have. All right, so-and-so wrote in, you know, what can I do about my brother? Or I always still go to the wrongness of me in this area or, you know, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Address those clearings and use the tools. And then people get the download of the call plus a download of all the clearings that we've done, both written and audio. So you end up, you know, you can listen to things over and over and over again, which I find very helpful. I know when I listen to something the first time, I often miss stuff. I mean, it's like people who are going to be downloading all this and all have downloaded all of your calls, Monica. It's like you need to listen to things two or three times, I think, to really get it.
Well,
but the things that I like about teleclasses
mm-hmm.
is And I do mm-hmm. do individual work, too. But you get all kinds of different people's input and you know, what's going on with them that you can build on. And it's a very open, very expansive kind of thing. Once again, it's not a class. It's not a dogma. It's not an answer. It's like someone will ask a question, and oftentimes I'll ask them a question back. And it's just that question that sparks the, oh, the aha, the awareness in them of, oh, I see. Okay, it's this. Cool. And sometimes it's a piece of information. I mean, I have a book coming out. I'm not quite sure when, but we've actually finished it. It just needs a book cover and to go to the publisher, Write Recovery for You. But I have a whole chapter on myths and lies of addiction, things like it's a disease, you're powerless. You know, it's an identity you have to have for the rest of your life.
Oh, this is so good. When is it coming out?
I don't know for sure, but by the end of the year, definitely. Definitely.
You remind me if, you know, you want to do some promotion, we can, once the cover is ready and when people could even pre-buy it or whatever you want to do, I'd love to have you on again. I think we're going to have a change. You know, I was talking to somebody else, Claudia Christian, who's an actress who was on Babylon 5, wrote a book called Babylon Confidential, and she is going to be on my show next week, and she used the Sinclair Method and naltrexone and disliked AA intensely and talks about it and sums it up in the end of the book in about 2.5 pages and then went straight to moderation because she thought that abstinence was ridiculous and that's not what she wanted to do, which is exactly what you're saying. You say to the people, what do you want to do? What does your future look like? Right.
I did abstinence for years, and at one point, and I'm very in touch with my body now, and that's another thing that I found that was extremely interesting. Most people who identify as having an addiction, they're really out of touch with their bodies. And if you're truly willing to be embodied, it's essentially impossible for addiction to exist because our bodies naturally reject it. But what happens is we get so disconnected that addiction can kind of slip in there. The way I started having a drink again was I was actually in Santa Fe. I used to give myself these weeks in February. I'd take a week every February just by myself, off season, love the place, great restaurants, great galleries, beautiful scenery, walking. But I was having lunch, and I said, so, you know, body, what would you, chilly day, what would you like? Would you like Perrier or coffee? Those were my two standard things. And my body said, I want a glass of wine. And I'm like, really? And it's not like, you know, it's not like talking. It's just this awareness.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? I'm like, okay. So I had a glass of wine, and I realized, wow, all of those things I was told in AA are not true. I don't have cravings for any more. It was very present. I don't have a disease. I'm not powerless. It was just, and it was such a revelation to me. And that, for me, is what works, moderation. Or I don't even call it that. It's because it's not, I'm not actually having to do anything like go, okay, I've had two, I don't need any more. You know what I mean? It's like if I have more than a couple glasses, even at a party, my body's like, we're done.
I think this is so important. Right Recovery for You, it's going to come out in the end of the year. And who is releasing it?
I don't know yet. It may be through the Access Consciousness. They have their own publishing company, and it may be through them.
Oh, okay.
But it is, I mean, it's really done, and it's so exciting to me because it covers all of this and a lot more.
I'm sorry. I'm reading. There's a couple of bloggers. It's a mind blower to be able to drink in total moderation. That's what ETP was saying. One of the other bloggers, Anon, it got to be such a popular subject that on my Leaving AA site, I created an abstinence versus moderation thread that I then took this one guy who was in AA for 17 years, fully drinking the Kool-Aid like you and I. He very specifically left for a whole year. I mean, he was gone a year and blogged and deprogrammed, you know, the way he felt before he picked up any beverages with alcohol in them. And then also he went on to moderation.org and read what they believed, and he went on to HAMS. And it was really fun. I mean, he had like his whole – but at the end, like he's coming up on – It's not a year yet, but he said, really, truthfully, he's not. It's not about controlling. There is no controlling. He's realizing the same thing you just said. And it's fascinating to watch him, and I don't know him personally because he's anonymous. He's Anon. That's his blogger name, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
He's given people the freedom to talk about it, and people are, you know, do talk about it, and it's really empowering. Now, Amy said after ETP said that some people would have cravings for more, though, if they haven't done the pre-work of understanding self. What do you think about that?
I think that what I find with cravings is they tend to be associated, going back to this primary addiction. If you have any sense, and it's so subtle, it's not even often within the cognitive awareness. It's just an energetic sense of wrongness and pain. And to me, that's what actually creates cravings. Now, the other thing that I found that creates cravings, which I just think is hysterical, is that, okay, so if you've been in the energetic field, and I work a lot in energy in the sense of, you know, alcohol, overdoing it with alcohol has an energy to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can get into what was it like to just be drunk. Or so if you've had that, it's almost like you create this connection. Well, you actually have a connection with everybody else that also has that energetic sort of pathway about alcohol and drinking too much and desiring it. So let me show you how this shows up. And
okay,
I would
love to hear it. Absolutely, go ahead.
I was driving home after I had started to drink again for, I don't know, maybe 6 months. I was driving home from my office, and I love wine. I've always loved wine. I loved wine before AA. I love wine now that I don't have to do AA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving home from the office, and it was like Friday at 5 o'clock, and I'm going, oh, my God, I need a drink. Oh, boy, I just can't wait to get home. I am just going to pour me a stiff scotch. And I went, a minute, I don't even drink scotch. So who does this belong to? And a lot of the thoughts, feelings, and emotions that people think are actually cravings, they're just picking up somebody else's. I mean, we're all interconnected, and you have special connections to anybody who's got the same, quote, addiction as you do. So it was just like, oh, and you can just ask, who does this belong to? If it lightens up at all, it's not yours. Mm-hmm. Return to sender, never mind. And it was just, I almost stopped the car. I was laughing so hard.
Wow.
You know, and when I got home, I didn't even feel like a glass of wine. I just wanted to kind of relax and have a hot bath and a cup of tea and watch some TV and just space out because it had been a long day.
And now, you really have a lot to offer. And one of the problems that we see all over in this whole giant machine that's been created in the $6 billion, you know, industry around it, is that we have judges who are doing what they're doing, but you have psychotherapists. Right? You have doctors.
Yes.
And you would be a really great speaker. You have in this book. Do you have another book previous? I'm sorry, I don't know this about you. Do you have another book, or this is your first book that's coming out?
My first book, and it's a pretty big book. I think it's going to be pretty long, actually.
Okay. So it's going to take over the big book. Like you said, it's a kind of a big book. A pun on words.
Reclaim all of you and so, restore. I still have different taglines, but one of them is restoring the power of you. That's what it's really about. You've been diminished and devalued and been told you have to give your power away. Take it all back.
Right.
Yep.
And you know what? I did some other work. I had a terrible experience with a man once, and it took advantage of me and then my divorce, and after my divorce or in the process of it. And this person, an old friend of mine, told me this tool where you could, you know, you sit and you get in the space of meditated space, and it's like a fishing rod, and you take everything back, because I felt used, and I was used, right?
Yeah.
And I fishing lined it all back, every massage, whatever, and I got to tell you, it worked. I mean, it worked.
Yeah.
I did some other spiritual stuff that, because there was nothing else for me to do. I can't rant forever. I can only write so much. I can only bitch to my girlfriend so much. I can only bang a pillow so much. And so I delved into that same world that you did, looking for answers that were shortcuts. They really are. some shortcuts to, I mean, you learn it when you do childhood abuse work where you cut up a picture of a person, you slice them up with scissors and watch that go into the trash, or you burn something that they owned. Or you know, I mean, there are different things. It isn't all just sitting and writing in a paper or laying on a couch psychotherapy for 5,000 years. You know what I mean?
And please don't do that.
So I
what you really want to do is restore the power. You want to take all of the places and all of the parts of you that you've diminished and devalued and suppressed and repressed and cut off, and begin reclaiming them one by one by one by one. I worked with a guy who had, he called me up and he said, I heard about you. I've had this major cocaine addict, you know, addiction for years, and I'm like $100,000 in debt, so I can't afford too many sessions, but I want to talk to him. I'm like, sure, come on. And in the first session, I said, so what brings you joy? What do you like to do? And he said, well, I love to do art. I'm like, okay, cool. And when was the last time you painted? He said, oh, I don't allow myself to paint. Really? I'm punishing myself because I've done all this cocaine. I'm like, okay, here's your assignment. Go out. I know you don't have a ton of money, so don't spend a ton, but buy the basics that you need to paint, and I want you to paint before you come back next week.
Mm-hmm.
He did, and that was the beginning of the turning point for him, and he ended a cocaine addiction in six sessions.
Wow, yeah, oh my God.
And he'd been in NA, CA, you know. But what it was allowing himself to have himself back and not going to this judgment and wrongness of self and shame and guilt and all of that. Get rid of those things. Shame, guilt, those are what we call distractor implants. If you look at an infant, they don't have any of it. They ask for what they desire. Those are things that are put into you by the culture, by society, to control you. So anytime shame or guilt comes up, no, it's not you. And there's absolutely no use for it. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to
I just want to put it out there that you would be a fabulous speaker to talk to doctors and to other therapists, and, you know, you really have, this stuff needs to shift, and people need to know about what you're doing, and, you know, there will be other people that will listen, and the word gets out, and we'll have you on, you know, more times. And now we have about 8 minutes left, which is a good enough time. There's, you know, a lot that you cover, so we know that you work one-on-one with therapy with people if they want to do phone calls, or you work that way, correct?
Absolutely. I do it all over the world. So if they're in the UK or Australia, I use Skype. It's technology these days. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Skype to just talk without even being seen, because you don't have to be on the phone. You can just sit there and talk, you know.
Because I might be in my pajamas.
Yeah,
you know.
It's fun that way. I do some work with, you know, in that way, and with some bloggers too. And then you're going to have a free, I'm going to repeat this, there's going to be a free teleclass on July 8th.
A single free call on July 8th. And then I'm starting a teleseries called Ending the Primary Addiction, Judgment, and the Wrongness of You, which is to get people out of this sense. People have no idea how much they judge themselves. They think they do, but when you actually look at it, I mean, by the time most people get up in the morning and look in the mirror, they already have 50 judgments. Oh, my God, this is flabby, this is this, this is that. I shouldn't have slept so late. I mean, it's amazing. One of the things that I tell people right away is give yourself a judgment-free day.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, just for today, I'm not going to judge myself. I had a client recently, and I said, I want you to give yourself a judgment-free day. He said, I don't think I can do that. I said, how about an hour? He said, I'll see what I can do. I'm like, okay. So when he came back in, I said, how was your judgment-free hour? He said, well, I only did 20 minutes, but it was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's really true, because I thought I was judgment-free. And I was reading, you know, someone else's book. I think it was Hank Haynes's book, You've Been Lied To, The Truth About Addiction. And what, I can't remember the whole title. It's such a long title. And I noticed that I was, judging my physical body, because I was always in such great shape and very thin. And, you know, for most of my life, I just ate what I wanted, and I swam, and I played basketball and such. But after reading this chapter in his book, I was like, whoa, hang on there, man. I was judging myself. If you could ask my husband, we can put him on the phone here. He's listening right now to your show.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. In fact, in my book, I have a chapter called In Judgment and Addiction. And if you could actually wipe out all judgment, you would actually end addiction, because it's the pain of all of those judgments. Once again, that wrongness of self, that pain of judging ourselves as not perfect, not right, not good enough, not this, not that,
mm-hmm.
that actually leads to the desire to escape.
I
when you have all of
to...
you, when you be all that you can be in the gift that you are and the amazing you are, there's no need to escape.
Right, right.
There's no desire to run away.
Right. That it's really true. I mean, I think this is, I can't wait for your book to come out and, you know, have you on some more. This is, it's so important. I think that one of the things I saw in AA in the last couple of years that I was there with, which was how judgmental they are. And the judgment being really extreme. And I started to see things as I had a fresh pair of eyes. And
mm-hmm.
that I wasn't looking at it through someone who came and had this, like, romancing of what AA was like in the fucking 70s, which it wasn't perfect. I was sexually preyed on. I was 13-stepped. I was ripped off financially. I had a sponsor
yeah.
give me crappy advice. And, you know, I
absolutely.
Mean. Right? It was all that stuff that happened. And, you know, I'm really glad to be gone and really glad to be on this journey where you and I and many other people are like, we need to get this word out that you don't have to suffer. And
no.
sitting in a room full of judgmental people, I mean, you can't even go to an AA meeting and brag about success unless you're in a very small, intimate, you know, women's meeting I knew where people could actually share, you know, their successes and people care. Otherwise, people are really jealous.
Well, and you can't share your success anyway because they'll say, well, you didn't do it, God did it. Or your higher power.
Right.
What?
Right.
You know, and one of the things that I say to people when, you know, talking about what, you know, you do the deprogramming is, look, if you have any sobriety, you did it. You did it. You chose it and you did it. And if you did it then and that's what you'd like to choose in the future, you can do it too. The other is just an illusion.
It's totally illusion. And I felt that, I really got that when I left. I was gone, maybe it was, you know, I don't know, coming up on a year or maybe 6 months, and I really took the power of that. It was me, you know, I did it. But there, we have a blogger here asking a question, and I think it's important. How can we access the telecall on July 8th?
If you will go, once again, to www.accessconsciousness.com, click on the drop-down menu under facilitators, find a facilitator, put in my name, Marilyn. Just put in Marilyn, and Marilyn Bradfield will come up. Click on that.
Okay.
Sorry it's so many steps, but currently that's what it is.
No, it's easy.
It
to,
will
it's
be
easy
up
to
on my
navigate.
New site. When you, yeah, navigate.
Yeah.
So, and you'll see a list of my classes. You can click on classes.
Okay, yeah, it's really easy to
and
do.
I can send
good.
You, Monica, if it's helpful, I can send you a link if that
yeah.
would be helpful. A blog, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, let's. I can probably send me a link and I'll put it up on my blog. Under I put you up on the front page of my blog, Leaving AA Today, that you were going to be on, and I'll edit it and put in a little link. And you know, I look forward to actually talking to you privately, which I plan to do, because I think that you have really something I would just like to explore with you. I think it's a really
cool.
very
I
interesting,
would welcome that.
Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. So we have about a minute and a half. You want to? Is there anything else you would like to tell the listener?
Yeah, don't give up on you ever. You are the one who has the power and potency. You've been told you don't. You were told from the probably most of you from the beginning of your life that you didn't, that you needed to conform, that you needed to buy other people's realities, that you were the effect of things, and that just got all reinforced with 12-step. Don't believe it. It's not true. You have the power and potency to change and choose the life and create the life that you truly desire, and never give up on that.
Oh, my God. This has really been a wonderful show for me to have with you. I want to thank Marilyn Bradfield for being on Safe Recovery tonight or today. And
whatever
you can look forward
to.
Yeah, it's been really great. And you can look forward to her book, Right Recovery for You, the free call on July 8th. Go to Access Consciousness. Thank you, everybody, for listening in, for ETP, for hooking me up with her, for Amy, for In There, and anybody else in the guest room. The guests that are in the chat room. And thanks so much, Marilyn. It's really, really wonderful
what
having you on.
What you're doing is amazing, Monica. You are a
spark
light in the world, really. It's just wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Well, we'll talk again soon. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week with Claudia Christian. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.